Well, last week, we looked at the miracle of the new birth. In verse 18, it says that God, of his own will, has brought us forth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But then the question arises, now what? What is our response to the sovereign, loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father making us come alive? Now, how are we to live? And in today's passage, we start looking at the answer to the now what. And I can guarantee you, we aren't supposed to stay as newborn babes. I've seen five babies born, my own babies. I think that's a good qualifier. And in the 10 years that Brittany and I have been married, we've had a baby almost all of that time in our home, except for about the first 11 months or so. But here's the thing. They don't stay babies. And sometimes after a sleepless night, you're thankful for that. They don't stay babies. They grow up. And the same thing is supposed to happen for Christians. We are to keep growing up into the maturity of Christ. And James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us the answer to the now what. And it's centered on the Word of God. And there's three parts. Number one, hear God's Word. Number two, receive God's word. And then number three, obey God's word. And so if you want to know how to grow as a Christian, if you want to know how to bear fruit, how to live a life that's well-pleasing to the Father, then this passage is for you. And hopefully, that's all of us. Hopefully, we all delight that to have that this morning. And this morning, we're going to look at the first two. We're going to look at hearing and receiving. And then next week, we'll come back and look at being doers of the word. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Help us see Christ. Help us to hear your word and to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first command that God gives us in the verse is to be quick to hear. Verse 19 says, "Let every person be quick to hear." Now, when you hear that word quick, what does it communicate to you? If I told you to do something and to do it quick, why would I give that instruction? Let's say an emergency happened and I was crushed under a heavy object, maybe a car, and one of my children were nearby. And I would say, "Go get mom quickly. Go get a neighbor quickly. Call 911 quickly." Quick communicates urgency. It communicates importance, significance. Do whatever it takes to prioritize this task in order to get it done as soon as you possibly can. This is important. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Do it now and do it quick. And so whatever it is that we are to hear in verse 19 must be very important. So what is James telling us to be quick to hear? Now, commentators are split on this. Some think that James is merely talking about our interpersonal relationships. Be quick to hear and slow to speak with each other. And that makes sense, doesn't it? In fact, in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot to say about this subject. The wise person knows how to hold their tongue. The wise person knows when to speak and when not to speak. In fact, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent." And so, yes, there is a good principle of wisdom that we should listen more than we speak. But is that all that James is talking about here? I think it's included. I think we should follow that instruction. But I think there's something more. Because let me ask you this. Who is the most important person that we could ever hear? That person is God, and God alone. And what's the most important thing that we could ever hear? That's the Word of God. Amen. And so, yes, listen to one another, but the most important thing that we could ever listen to is the Word of God. And that's the reason there's urgency behind this command to hear. It's because who's speaking? And I'm not just trying to argue for this. There's a solid contextual grounds for this in the passage. In verse 18, we're born again through the Word. And then in verse 22, look there, it says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only." And so the context of this passage is to hear the Word. Hear the Word. There's nothing more urgent, more important in your life and in my life than to hear the Word. Do you see that? Do you see the priority of the Word of God? But Pastor, what if I don't like to hear the Word? Do I get a pass? You know, do you think God's okay with me not listening to His Word? Well, what do you think, Michelle? No?
No.
You're right. Verse 19 says, "Let every person be quick to hear." This is a command for every person. In fact, what's one of the most disrespectful things that we could do to someone? It's to ignore them, right? I mean, think about this. You're trying to communicate something important to someone, and they just walk away. Or, what about this one, men? You're sitting at home on the couch, your favorite spot in the house. You're watching the football game. And your wife comes in, and you notice that she is troubled. Something happened. She has something to tell you that's very important. And while she's talking, you reach for the remote and turn up the volume. Hopefully you see how disrespectful and how hurtful that would be. But let me ask you, how many of us are doing that with God's Word? How many of us are turning up everything else in our life in order to drown out the Word of God? Maybe it's because we know it addresses the areas in our life that we don't want to change. I don't want to forgive that person. They're unforgivable. I don't want to stop sleeping with my girlfriend or boyfriend. I don't want to align my speech with the Word of God. I don't want to cherish and love and serve and sacrifice my preferences for my wife. Or wives, I don't want to respect and submit to my husband. We drown out the Word because we don't want to hear the Word. But listen, church. As the people of God, we should be the first to hear the Word. We should be the quickest to hear the word. What does God's word have to say? This is the path of life. This is the answer that I need. Yeah, but Pastor, there's always a but. You know, I'm a pretty special guy. And God told me I don't need to do all of that. In fact, that's religious. That gets in the way of our relationship. God speaks to me directly. Oh, really? Let me ask you this. How many times has that voice convicted you of sin? How many times has that voice humbled you and led you to confess a wrongdoing to someone? How many times has that voice not coddled your ego? There's a reason people don't want to hear the word of God. It confronts us in our rebellion, in our own way. It confronts us and it says, stop and turn around and go to Christ. But church, that's the reason why we need to be here, to be quick to hear the word. Let every person, James says, be quick to hear the word. At the beginning of the year, people often make New Year's resolutions or goals, and those are good. I like doing that. But what could be better than a goal of growing as a Christian? And we're not going to do that outside of regular consumption of the Word of God. And so I don't know if you've made a goal concerning your intake of God's Word this year. If you haven't, you should. There's nothing more important for you to do than that. Can you imagine a professional athlete deciding, I'm not going to work out this year? Can you imagine a CEO saying, I don't care about the profits this year? I can't. But we can all imagine Christians never cracking open the Bible and asking God to help me grow to become more like Christ. And maybe you don't like to read, or maybe there's a physical ailment, something that makes it hard to read. And that's okay. We have so many apps that you can download where someone will actually read the Bible to you. I mean, we've got no excuses anymore. Let's commit, church, this year, by God's grace, to be people of the Word, to be quick to hear the Word, to read and listen and consume and submit to God's Word. Number two, hearing God's Word will impact our relationships. Hearing God's word is not a call for us to live in a secluded monastery and removed from the troubles of life or the troubling people of life. Nor is it a call to pray and read in the morning and it not impact the way that you live. No, James won't let us get away with that because he connects the hearing of the word with the way that we will live and interact with others. He says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And what we see is when someone is quick to hear the word, they're going to be slow to anger. Anger is perhaps the most destructive thing in our relationships. It's like a wildfire. It's fast. It's deadly, and it's unmerciful. And notice the play on words here. Typically, anger is quick. It's where we get the phrase quick-tempered, right? So typically, anger is quick. But James, he flips that around, and he says, be quick to hear and slow to anger. I also can't help but see the connection between anger and unforgiveness. Because if someone walks in forgiveness, it's going to be hard for them to be an angry person, isn't it? And so, yes, this passage is talking about anger, but what is fueling all of that anger? It's the deadly poison of unforgiveness. At some point in your life, you were wronged. You were mistreated. You were sinned against, and it was wrong. But unforgiveness is not the answer. It's not the solution. It's not going to protect you like you think it may. In fact, it'll do the exact opposite. It'll destroy you. And in case we need a reminder of this, we too have wronged people. We too have sinned against others. We too have offended the holiness of God. But as Ephesians 4 reminds us, because God in Christ has forgiven you, you also forgive. We forgive because we are a forgiven people. Amen? And so being slow to anger implies that we walk in forgiveness and grace towards others. And even as I'm talking about this, there's probably people in here the Holy Spirit is bringing someone to your mind that you have not forgiven. Maybe you thought you forgave them and you realize you haven't. Be quick to hear. Be quick to follow his leading. And if you need to borrow this prayer, say, Lord, I forgive. Help me to forgive. Lord, I choose to forgive this person because you tell me to. I don't feel like it. I ask that you would help my heart align with your word. And he'll give you grace to do that. Lord, I forgive. Help me to forgive. But what's the connection here with the slow to speak? Here's the connection. Uncontrolled anger often leads to uncontrolled speech. Uncontrolled anger leads to uncontrolled speech. Think of how many times we regret what we said when we were angry. Uncontrolled anger does not produce loving speech. So when you're angry, the best course of action, put your hand over your mouth, bite your tongue, and listen to the word that you've hopefully stored up in your heart and forgive. Well, if you're still not convinced about the danger of sinful anger, James tells us why in verse 20, why we should be slow to anger. He writes, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so why be slow to anger? It's not going to lead to righteousness. It's not going to produce good things. It's going to be counterproductive. It's going to be destructive. Another translation says, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And I think that's getting at the gist of what James is saying here. Throughout the letter, James is exhorting us to be doers of the word, to bear fruits of repentance, to have good works that correspond with saving faith. But anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, discord, fighting, backbiting, all of these things are responses of the flesh. They're not of Christ. They're not of the Spirit. They will not produce the righteous life that God desires. They will only lead to more pain and sorrow. And so, church, we need to be reminded of this, especially in this day and age. This is the age of outrage. The social media is just fanning everyone's anger. You know, everyone wants to cancel someone. Everyone wants to look out for the next reason to be angry at the other side. And if we aren't careful, we too can adopt that way of thinking and living. But instead, James reminds us, be quick to hear. Be attentive to God's word. Saturate your heart, body, mind, and soul in the word of God. And the result, church, is we will continue to grow. We won't be like the newborn babe stuck in infancy. We will grow up into the maturity of Christ. And we will, by God's grace, produce the life of righteousness that God desires. Number three, hearing God's word empowers us to put away compromise. So not only will hearing God's word impact your relational dynamics in a positive way, not only will it impact your emotional health, it also helps us to put away compromise. Verse 21 says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness." And honestly, a whole sermon could be preached on this point, but I'm going to spare you guys that this morning. It's so easy for us to allow sin and compromise in our life if we are not regularly going to God's Word. Because if you're not going to God's Word, what are you doing? You're looking around at everyone else, aren't you? You're listening to the culture. You're listening to the world. And you think, man, I'm doing pretty good. I've got some areas that, you know, I know aren't right. But God's okay with that. You know, everybody else is doing it. But then you come to God's Word, and the Holy Spirit shines a spotlight right on your heart and says, put away all filthiness. Put away all compromise. Put away everything that does not align with the Word of God. And I don't know about you guys, but I need that. I need the Holy Spirit spotlight on my heart and exposing my compromise. Because nothing else is going to do that. The world's not going to do that. The TV's not going to do that. The culture's not going to do that. Only God's Word will confront us in our compromise. And I don't know what areas of compromise you may be involved in, but God does. That's both hopeful and scary, right? And if you want to be free, if you want to know the joy of the Lord that surpasses all understanding, if you want to be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and know a peace that this world cannot offer, if you want to experience God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience that on a day-to-day basis, put away everything that offends Him and commit your whole life to Him. Surrender it all to Him. Your job, your money, your relationships, your time, your energy, your ambitions. Say, Lord, this my whole life belongs to You. I don't want any more compromise. Whatever Your Word says goes. No longer my will, but Your will be done. And if you're like a lot of us who have struggled with surrendering something, for whatever reason, you know, the author of Hebrews says there's a sin that clings so closely. There's something that you've struggled with laying down. Once again, the answer is to be quick to hear God's Word. Run to it over and over and over and over again. In fact, I want to issue a challenge. In the next 30 to 45 days, if you would prayerfully read the Word of God, just 30 minutes a day. For some people, that might be, you know, 10 chapters. For others, that might be one chapter. Prayerfully read the Word of God 30 minutes a day. Come to His Word and say, Holy Spirit, help me see Christ. Show me Your glory. Show me Your will. Give me Your insight. Help me to reflect Your image. Help me to become more like You. Teach me what You want me to know. If you come to His Word prayerfully like that, I 100% believe. I don't care who you are. 100%. In a month, you will be a different person, and your change will be for the better. That's one of the best things you could possibly do. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so it's not a one-time hearing. It's hearing and hearing and hearing. It's coming back to it over and over again. And as we do that, our faith grows. And as your faith grows, you are empowered to put away those compromises that you know God is not pleased with. And here's the thing. You'll do it with joy. When it's Spirit-empowered, and you're obeying the Lord, you will do it with joy. And it's going to produce a peace that nothing else will give. That brings us to our fourth and final point this morning. We've looked at hearing God's word. Now we'll close with receiving God's word. Verse 21, the last half, says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And so not only do we hear God's word, we must receive it. Do you see that? Did you know someone could come to church, sit in the pews week after week, year after year, even decade after decade, and they can hear the word of God preached, they can hear it read, they can hear it sung, but to them it just is syllables. It's words and sentences. It goes in one ear and out the other. They heard God's word, but they did not receive God's word. We don't just come to church to check the box and feel good about ourselves. No, we come to hear the life-transforming, saving power of the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the author was speaking about the generation of the Exodus. And he says, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united by faith with those who heard it." So did you hear that? The message they heard, the good news came to them, but the message they heard, it didn't benefit them because it was not united with faith. They heard it, but they didn't receive it, as the passage today says. For the word to ultimately save our souls, it must be heard with faith. It must be mixed with faith. It must be believed. It must be received. And James says, received with meekness. With meekness. If you want to receive the word, there must be a quality of meekness. There's the synonym of humility. It takes humility to hear the word and not reject it. The proud person says, "That's silly. That's not God's word. That doesn't apply to me. That doesn't convict me of my circumstance." The humble, the meek, hear God's word, they receive it, and they obey it. But this is talking about more than just our initial salvation. Because again, back in verse 18, when we were born again, God saved us. This is the present tense salvation in all believers' lives, the process of sanctification. The Bible has three categories of salvation: past tense, we were saved; present tense, we are being saved; and then future tense, we will be saved at the day of judgment. And so this is talking about the present tense salvation of our souls in our day-to-day life. And there's a lot of opinions out there on how we can heal our souls. Well, I have the answer. There's only one healer of the soul, and that's God. And one of his primary means, if not the chief means, by which he heals our soul is through his word. If you need healing of your soul, be quick to hear and receive God's word this morning. God's word heals, church. His word saves. His word delivers. His word sets free. His word transforms us more and more into the image of Christ. In light of that, is there anything that you can think of that is more important to hear than the word of God? When I was 22 years old, the Lord radically saved me from a life of sin and rebellion. And it happened through the reading of the Gospel of Matthew. I was alone in my room. I woke up that morning hungover and depressed. And I thought, what am I doing with my life? I've been given so many blessings, I'm squandering them. And the thought just came, why don't you read your Bible? Looking back, I know where that thought came from. I'd never read my Bible before. I had a Bible. We know some people like that, right? I had a Bible, but it just sat on the shelf. I never read it. And somehow I opened it up to the Gospel of Matthew. I still don't know how that happened other than the Holy Spirit. Somehow I opened it to the Gospel of Matthew. And as I made my way through the Sermon on the Mount, that morning, God opened my eyes and saved my soul. And it's nothing on me. That was God. That was His sovereign grace breaking into a rebel's life and saving them through His word. And I realized everything in my life was a train wreck because I had been neglecting the word of God. And I asked myself, what have I been missing? For 22 years, what have I been missing? And the fruit of my life today, any of the fruit that God has given me by grace, is really the result of His word impacting and saving my soul. And every time, I'm just like you. There are seasons I neglect the word. And every time I'm neglecting the word, the Lord draws me back. And once again, I ask, what have I been missing? Why did I neglect His word again? And so I have to ask you this morning, church, are you missing God's word in your life? Have you neglected the word in this season? If so, you can start a new beginning this morning. You can start fresh today. How might the Lord be leading you in this new year to be quick to hear, to prioritize the consumption of His word? I want to encourage you, don't leave here today without asking Him that question. And if you're here and you've never received the word of God with meekness, for the salvation of your soul. The Bible says Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 verse 12 says that to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The most important thing that we could ever do is to receive Jesus Christ, to believe in His name, to trust in His death on the cross and His resurrection. And if by grace you receive Jesus, you will become a child of the living God. If anyone wants to pray about that or anything, I'll be available before the Lord's Supper or after the service. Church, let's be quick to hear and receive with meekness the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, exposing the intentions of our heart. Lord, help us to hear Your word. Help us to be a people who are quick to go to Your word and to receive it. Lord, we ask for a desire to prioritize Your word. Holy Spirit, we ask for fresh desires this morning. And Lord, if anyone has never received the word, if they've never received Jesus for the salvation of their souls, Lord, I ask that they would do that by your grace, through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.